11 o'clock then?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, shall we start then? Our psalm this morning is Psalm 93. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity in Jacob. You have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. And our first worship this morning is hymn number 36. God is our refuge and our strength. Hymn 36. The Bible passage we'll be looking at today is from Mark's Gospel about the calling of Levi, a tax collector who became one of the first disciples. And we've got a short animation telling the story of Levi being called by Jesus.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus calls Matthew. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love and healed people from their sickness. He did many miracles like calming storms and even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
Jesus was in Capernaum, and he was walking along when he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Tax collectors were hated by everyone because many people thought They were cheaters and sinners.
Oh, not my tail. Let's get out of here.
But Jesus saw this man and said, "Follow me and be my disciple."
Me?
Yeah, you.
So Matthew got up, left everything, and followed him. Later, Matthew held a banquet in his home.
Hey, Jesus.
With Jesus as the guest of honor.
Yes, I hear.
Oh, thank you.
Many of Matthew's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them.
Ugh, yuck.
Hey, you!
But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained to Jesus' disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?"
Hold on there.
When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go on and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So Matthew went on to be one of Jesus' 12 disciples and followed him throughout his time on earth. He even wrote a book in the Bible about Jesus' time on earth, and he served God for the rest of his life.
Well, that's the story of the call of Levi. When I was a lot younger, when I was a boy, I used to love playing football. Unfortunately, my enthusiasm exceeded my abilities. We didn't play in organized teams or anything. A group of us would just get together and two people would be appointed captains, one for each team. And they'd take turns picking a player from the rest of the group. If you're not one of the captains, you hope that you'd be one of the first ones picked. If you were not one of the first ones picked, you always dreaded being the last one chosen. It got worse the fewer people there was left. You knew that you're not very good and that you probably weren't really wanted by either team. The captains probably thought you'd be a liability. Sometimes the leaders would argue over a person they didn't want in their team. No one would say, "I don't want him." The other says, "Well, we don't want him either." And so it had gone until everyone was picked. And it was even worse if there was an odd number of players. And the captain who had the last pick would say to the other captain, "You can have him." Just didn't do your confidence a lot of good. When Jesus chose people to be in his team, he did not choose only the best people. In fact, the story we've just seen animated there shows us an example of Jesus choosing someone that no one else wanted. Jesus often chose the outcast, the marginalised, the outsider, the disliked and the rejected, to be in his team. And as we saw in the video, which told us about Jesus calling Levi to be one of his disciples, Jesus has a place for everyone on his team. Let us pray. Jesus is our constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. We come together in our worship from our scattered, isolated lives. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is here. The Lord is here, and we bow before him, our God, Creator, Saviour, and Comforter, gracious, loving, and empowering. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God to be praised forever. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is with us, awesome and radiant, shining all around. Forgive us, Lord God, for we have shut our eyes to your glory, our minds to your truth, and our hearts to your spirit. And yet, we want to love you. We want to offer you true worship and joyful service. Accept and make holy all that we are, all that we have, all that we offer to you. Be still, for the power of the Lord is here, moving in this place, moving in our lives. Lord God, be with us in every experience of life. When we neglect you, remind us of your presence. When we are frightened, give us courage. When we are tempted, give us power to resist. When we are anxious or worried, give us peace. When we are weary in service, give us energy and zeal. Empower us as we pray. Be still, for the Lord is here. And now let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our next praise is hymn 189. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. Hymn 189. And we'll now ask Mandy to share with us the reading from Mark's Gospel.
Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I need to come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen.
Thanks very much, Mandy. We continue our praise with hymn 533, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" And now we come to reflection. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering in your sight, O God. Amen. My father passed away earlier this year. And over the past few months, it's been a sad duty to sort out the things he's left behind. Clothes and furniture, papers, tools and photographs. including loads and loads of black and white photographs. And I spent a fair amount of time going through the photos, trying to identify the people in them. Grandparents and great-grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins, and others that I haven't been able to work out who they are. People who, in one way or another, are part of the story of my family. And I suppose, in a way, helped to make me the person I am today. The Gospels are a bit like a family photograph album, showing those who have gone before us in the faith of God. They are pictures of the people who walk with God. It tells us their stories, how they met Jesus, and what Jesus said, and what Jesus did. This morning's photograph, or passage from Mark's Gospel, shows us Levi, a tax collector, who was called by Jesus and given a new name, though not in this passage. He became Matthew, who is traditionally believed to have been the author of the Gospel that bears his name. Levi met Jesus and was changed by him. Levi became a new person, and the change of name to Matthew recognised that change. More importantly, the photograph tells us something about Jesus, about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. And for us as Christians, looking at Jesus is like looking at a photograph or an image of God, showing us what God is like and what God does. So what does this morning's snapshot tell us about Levi? Well, we discover that he's a tax collector, which may not sound anything terribly significant to us nowadays, but it certainly means that Levi was probably not a very nice man. He was more than likely corrupt and dishonest. Tax officials are never the most popular of folk, but in the time of Jesus, they were completely despised. One Roman writer said that he'd once seen a monument on honest tax collector. Honest tax collectors were so rare that they got statues. So why did tax collectors get such a bad press in general, and in Palestine in particular? The reason was that they worked under the authority of the cruel king, Herod Antipas, and also for the Roman occupiers. In Jesus' time, both the petty kings like Herod Antipas and the Romans would contract out tax collections to local collectors. Matthew was some such person. The king and the Romans agreed that the tax collector would pay them a certain amount of tax each year. They didn't care how much they collected. They didn't care how they went about collecting it, as long as they got the agreed person. Officials like Levi paid an agreed on sum in advance to the Romans for the right to collect taxes in their area, and their profit came from the excess that they could squeeze out of the people. Basically, they extorted extra money for them. They cheated them and swindled them and made money from them. And the people hated these tax collectors, not only for their corruption, not only for the fact that they extorted money from them, but also because they worked for and with the despised Romans. Tax collectors were ranked with murderers and robbers, and a Jew was permitted to lie to them if necessary. The attitude found in the Gospels is similar. Tax collectors are lumped in with the most disreputable of people, frequently with the Gentiles, and were always classed as sinners. They were as offensive to the Jews for their economic and social practices as the lepers were for their uncleanness, and both were excluded from the people of God. Matthew's only friends would have been tax collectors like himself. And yet, as we heard, Jesus calls Levi to be one of his followers, one of his disciples. I often wonder what Peter and Andrew, James and John, the first four disciples, the ones who'd been called just before Levi, would have thought. But they lived and worked in Capernaum and probably knew Levi and his reputation. He may even have collected taxes from them. They must have wondered if Jesus had lost his mind, and may well not have liked the idea of having someone like Levi as part of their group. And yet, Jesus called Levi. He walked up to his tax collecting booth and told him simply and directly, "Follow me." And Levi did. There's no indication that Jesus and Levi had met before. It's more than possible that Levi had heard about Jesus, as Capernaum must have been abuzz with the talk about this new teacher who was making a name for himself, healing and teaching and casting out demons. It's more than possible that Levi had heard about Jesus and his love, his grace, and the things that Jesus said and did. And like so many others, he wanted to see Jesus for himself, to see what all the excitement was about. Like many others then and since, Levi was drawn to Jesus. He sensed that Jesus had time for him, no matter his past, and that Jesus could do something for him. And Jesus, for his part, saw the potential for change in Levi, the potential for greatness. Levi became one of the central figures in early Christianity and helped to spread the good news. And the gospel that bears his name has been one of the cornerstones of the New Testament. And moreover, Levi was saved from a life that may well have ended badly. Tax collectors were often targets in the frequent insurrections that broke out against Roman rule in that part of the world. And Levi saw this call as a cause for celebration. And as Mark tells us, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. In response to Jesus, Levi throws a party for him in his home and invites his friends to share in this newfound joy. Once again, they were probably all other tax collectors. Levi had something to celebrate, and he knew it, and he wanted his friends to know it too. So Jesus went and ate with these most hated and despised of people. This was a true act of grace and love. Jesus cared more about Levi as a person than he did about the possible bad reputation that Jesus would get from associating with him. He would gain from including Levi in the number of the disciples. He showed that his love extended to the outcast, even outcasts like Levi and his fellow tax collectors. And he showed it not only by calling Levi to be one of his number, but by sitting and eating with him. Mark tells us that a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Jesus was eating with these despised people. They were viewed as traitors by the Jewish people and were treated as such. The tax collectors were in the service of the Romans and were dishonest and corrupt. They really were hated. And yet, Jesus was happy to spend time with them. There were others there too who are simply described as sinners. This second group, the sinners, were most likely thieves and drunkards, petty criminals, people beyond the law that no decent person would associate with. Jesus ate with them too. He showed his acceptance of them, for in those days, eating with someone was a mark of acceptance. The guest list would have horrified the respectable folk of Capernaum. This is the secret about God's love. God doesn't love us because we're good. God just loves us. God did not send Jesus to earth because we love God so well. God sent Jesus despite our lack of love. God loves us whether we are good or whether we are bad. We are loved no matter our history. It's one of the things that the call of Levi teaches us, that no one is so far gone that the arms of God cannot reach them. If Jesus could show love to Levi and his friends, who were absolutely hated and despised, there is nothing that anyone can do that can keep God and Jesus from loving them. As someone once put it, those who deserve love the least need it the most. It was a really happy occasion, a proper celebration. But not everyone shared in the joy. A group of Pharisees are watching proceedings and complained to the disciples that Jesus is associating with sinners. The Pharisees would not have any dealings with the like of Levi and his friends, as they believed that to be pure before God, they had to avoid contamination by having contact with those who were unclean and associated with the Gentiles. They are scandalized that a rabbi could behave like Jesus and associating with people that were outcasts and unclean. Whether or not they meant to, many Pharisees put boundaries on God's love. They walled God off, and they were the gatekeepers. In their view, only certain types of people could find favor with God. The Pharisees believed in separating themselves from the world and from its corrupting influences. Their traditional role was to monitor the social holiness of the people of Israel. This led to their actions in the society of the day. They had their own ideas about God and God's will for humanity. They emphasized judgment and rule-keeping over love and mercy. They could not see that the friendship of God is open to all. But they're in for a rude awakening. Jesus is going to shake things up, to bring in change, and to tear down the walls that separates God from sinners. Jesus responds to their complaints and sets the record straight. He tells them that the purpose of his action, and he defends his disciples. He tells them that he is here on earth to call sinners to repentance. He's not there to continue the tradition of rigid regulation, but to set people free from it. There's a clear picture of grace and mercy that many Pharisees could not see. Jesus sets a new standard for God's people, for them to share his love and mercy with others. He breaks down the walls of tradition and prejudice, and he still does today, because no one deserves God's grace. It's a free gift to anyone who will accept it. Jesus calls the people to see that every person has value in the eyes of God and that they are precious to God. Jesus calls Levi because he sees the potential he has with in him. He calls him to share in God's grace and love. And he calls us too to share in God's grace and love as well. Jesus sets the standard very clearly, and to follow him, we're called to show the love of God at all times to all people. No one is worthy of God and his grace. It's God's free gift given through Jesus. We are all sinners, but the difference between a Christian and other sinners is simple. A Christian is a sinner who trusts that we have been forgiven God. We believe the good news that Jesus is a cure for the sickness of the world. That is why we look to Jesus, for in him we see a picture of God. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his holy word. And let us respond to the preaching of the word by offering up our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Lord, we bring to you now our prayers for others and for ourselves. We ask that you bless and guide your church here in this parish and throughout the world, helping us to reach out to others, sharing with them the good news of Jesus, and standing with those who are most in need of help, love, and support. Guide us in our relationships with others, within our families, with friends, with neighbours, with those we struggle to love or try to avoid. Fill our homes and our communities with the warmth of your love. May we learn to love and accept all, everyone. Pour out your spirit into the world. Bless those struggling with poverty and homelessness, evil and war. Help us to reach out to those who are in need. Bless those who are ill or at home, or in hospital, those who are feeling anxious or depressed, feeling that they would rather just give up than live on. May they know your love and sense your presence with them. and may we, as a church, reach out to them in their time of need. Bless the leaders of the nations, the leaders of people. Guide them in the decisions that they make, ensuring that they work hard and fight for the people they represent. Lord, may we always sense your presence in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Transform us to be the folk that you would have us be. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And we'll bring our service to close this morning with hymn 502, Take My Life and Let It Be. 502. May God, who is the ground of hope, fill us all with joy and peace as we live the life of faith, until by the power of the Holy Spirit we overflow with hope And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth, and evermore. Amen. And thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. And we're back in church next week, I believe.